Back to what your statement was earlier, who was it that you didn't want to say bad things about?
Oh, I was talking...
And I don't mean bad things, but you were being cautious.
I was talking about Schroeder's that night, when I was talking about quantitative strategies. Just, we've had some trouble with quantitative strategies in the past. Every time we've, specific to the international equity space, we've had some difficulties there. I don't want to cast aspersions that quantitative strategies don't work. It's just the track record is such that it weighs on my mind.
I'm making whatever my recommendation will be based on probably some more non-quantifiable metrics. And the other comment was, who was the most conservative, or the one that was, they weren't going to lose a lot of money, but they weren't going to gain a lot of money?
Please go ahead.
MFS. Well, MFS and Pureford both follow a similar story to it. I think the execution has been fairly comparable. I mean, one of them is going to come out ahead, depending on what exact time frame you look at there. The concern with MFS, I think they came in with an incredible track record. You have a change in leadership. So the question before the board is there enough there with the MFS organization that you believe you can carry forward under the new leadership? I can't say that can't, but it leaves a question mark on it that doesn't exist in the other two firms.
Right, and I understand that. And I know the other thing was that MFS didn't bring their top guy. I actually liked Camille's explanation. That was reasonable to me. Scott and I have talked. We recognize that when there is a change in leadership, that does have an impact. So my recommendation is go with Pureford. That's who I felt was the most. I like their presentation the best. I thought it was easily understandable. They all were good. Nobody did not do well. But of the three, they impressed me the most with their. And maybe the other two had those strategies, but I thought that Tony did an excellent job conveying what their philosophy was, how they want to make us money, and that they have a strict philosophy, they don't deviate from it, and that this has made money over time. So, I mean, they're all, you know, when you look at all three, they're good, but that's where I am. And I'm open, I want to hear my colleagues, they could convince me otherwise, but right now that's where I'm at.
There does tend to be a tendency for whoever talks first that the other people will agree. So.
Oh, well, I didn't mean to do that. I honestly did not mean to do that.
In this case, don't worry about it.
There's an exception in this case, Chris. One thing that struck me was that you had rather diametrically opposing styles. Mm-hmm. You had Schroeder's on one side, and I had this conversation with a couple of people at the break, but they basically loading up on banks and financials and foreign entities as a real opportunity, and then you have the other two, MFS and Pureford. They obviously pronounce it differently than it looks in American English, saying exactly the opposite. You also have styles of really understanding stocks, the stocks they buy, my sense, on the two I just described, and Schroeder, there's no way you're getting 900 stocks a year and making a judgment on that is more than passing. You just can't. That's why I asked those numbers. You just can't really, in any final decision way, other than just confirm that seems to be okay. So first it seems to me you either like one style or the other. So if you like the other, being the two, a small number of accounts, slower turnover, longer holding period, focused analysis, etc., it's down to MFS versus Pureford. If you like Schroeder, then you wouldn't go with the first two. I'm anxious to hear what others have to say on the two, because I like both of them.
I came in feeling pretty strongly about MFS, even with a name change, because I tend to believe that they're not such a one-person show. I don't see that person as being indispensable. But I was put off, frankly, during their presentation by how insular they were about getting exposure to their top guys. I mean, I thought direct questions were not responded to very well. Well, you know, we'll you know, they come out sometimes, and maybe you'll get to see them. I mean, this last guy basically said, I'm around whenever you want to talk to me. I mean, that seems like just a remarkably focused customer service attitude to me. As often as you need to talk to me, I'm available. That's not what I got out of MFS, although their performance, I think, has historically been better, and I don't tend to necessarily dismiss that, assuming that that's somehow going to just evaporate. Schroeder's is, I don't know, it doesn't seem to me they're doing as much evaluation as you might, and that accounts for some of the turnover. I mean, if you're going to hold a stock for about a week and a half, then it really doesn't matter what kind of analysis you do. And if they're rolling through that kind of turnover in a year.
We're backing away from that 200% number.
You mean it's going up to about 500%?
This book right here on page 58 tells you the turnover per year. In 2012, it was 62%.
It's still high, in my opinion. So
it's the highest of the three.
It's the highest of the three. So, you know, if we were to go to Schroeder, I would like to see us go in there and basically say, how mean can we be to you about your rate? We're a seed client, using his language. We're a seed client. I don't see any favored nation status for a seed client, so it seems to me we can go in and cut ourselves a little tighter deal. But if it were me, I'm impressed with Perford. I'm impressed with the presentation, the discipline, and I think that would be an interesting approach. I mean, they seem very, very convinced. And maybe they could be convinced wrong in some areas, but they don't seem wishy-washy at all.
We're going to go around the table.
Yeah,
we
might guess that.
Sure. I guess I was a little put off by the answers to the questions to MFS. I hadn't quite been told that someone needed to be protected from our questions or our inquiry, and that was really what was said. And maybe that was a poor choice of words, but I mean, I otherwise thought she was impressive. Clearly, had good subject matter command, understood what they were doing, and I was impressed with the firm's rigor, just as I was with Perford in terms of the approach, the rigor, the analysis. I'm not a rules guy, but it struck me that in this business particularly, rules are necessary, important, and not deviating from them and having a process is critical. So that both MFS and Perford struck me as having that. But MFS was, I think Jerry captured my thought exactly. I mean, I just felt they were a little standoffish, a little insular. Didn't feel like we were ever going to be able to talk to somebody or get to somebody. If that was necessary. So to me, it got down to Perford and Schroeder's, and I guess to me, they're sort of like the antithesis of one another. They probably really aren't, but it sure struck me that they are. If you're concerned about an individual having a significant role in an investment decision, then Schroeder strikes me as the firm that should trouble you the most, whether or not you like the strategy, because every investment decision was made by the guy here, period. Maybe I didn't know how to articulate the question about how much research goes into a stock. I couldn't quite get the question answered. I was trying to understand the gestation period, literally, of, you know, tell me, kind of give me a day in the life of how long. Is it 6 months? Do you follow a stock for 8 months? Do you care? And I think the answer was, we don't care. And you know, I pick them, we'll go by this, we'll go by the research. If I see something in the research, it leads me to do other research. It's a daily, it's episodic, it's not progressive. So when I came down to it, Perford has the benefit of going last, but I was very impressed with them. Yeah, it's a very polished program. Their presentation, I'm sure, is very structured and has been through 1,000 of these. But I came away feeling like he actually believed what he said, and the rigor and the analysis, particularly his take on site visits, which I looked over at Tim and smiled because he and I have had this discussion for the past several months. I initially questioned the real value of a site visit because I didn't know. I'd never done one, didn't understand the process. But believe me, after my first one, I'm convinced of their value. And his take on the value and what he expected to get out of the top management, to me, was the most impressive thing. And so I too, am in the Perford camp and would select them. I'm sorry I talked too long, but that's all right. What I think.
You know, when I started this morning, and after doing all the stuff that, that Bob presented, and before any of you talked, MFS, it's here. That looks really good. I really like their numbers. I like their returns. Their information ratio was second best. I felt comfortable. And then you hit us with they're changing. And that's real critical to me, as you know, because when Lord Abbott made their changes, I was the one on the board that said we need to put them on watch, and I was insistent on that. And I stay true to that ideal. So that puts them out the window. And now I'm looking at Schroeder's and, how do you pronounce it? Pierford?
Okay. Or like preferred.
Oh, that would be nice.
There's something else.
That's good.
I bet there's some subliminal stuff going on.
So, then it came down to those two, and the only thing that I got out of Schroeder's that I thought was valuable for us is their correlations to William Blair and how what they said about that. I thought that was kind of important, but you know what? Again, I'll go with what Jerry was saying. I felt like they weren't letting us near their people. So, I
Pierford. The P group.
I'm going for the P group. Short and sweet. And again, it's for all the reasons that have been previously mentioned. I really liked his presentation. At moments, I felt lost because he was talking so fast. But he was real clear about, I'm here a long time. I will do anything you need. I will show up wherever you want to show up. And their numbers are the middle of the road as far as, you know, they're not the best. They're not the worst. They're the middle of the road. I can live with that. So I'm with them. I'll go there.
Well, I'll go with Pierford, too, only because they're second best at MFS, but I sent their CIO, CEO out here today, and he invited us to have him back, or his, portfolio managers, anytime, and I thought that was important to me. MFS, I just felt like, again, they're probably too big or have too many clients to give us the time and day to send out somebody important we want to meet with. So my preference is Pierford.
I have some concerns about MFS, but not for the reasons that have been mentioned. My reason for probably excluding MFS doesn't really have anything to do with the management change, although that is a concern. And I guess theoretically, if we brought them on, they'd be on watch next year.
Maybe the day we hired them.
Great way to start a relationship.
Make that part of the motion.
But my biggest concern with them is that you look back at their performance initially and you go, oh wow, great performance, right? And we want them, even though past performance is not indicative and so on. But what I'm concerned about is that they really don't seem to be a true value manager. And so if you're comparing their performance, to an index that is value, but they're reaching out there and doing growth from time to time, then is our analysis skewed in terms of what benchmark we're using and so forth. So that's kind of the question that I have. I actually like Schroeder's. I like the lean. I think they are a true value manager, and I thought that was very observant of them to put themselves next to Blair and show that comparison. But I think when you put those two together, Pierford and Schroeder, it kind of goes back to the style. Schroeder's with a high turnover of stocks. They are smaller cap. They're truly a mid-cap, it seems, from the information we're giving. They're a mid-cap manager, reaching into the small from time to time. And so I think the Pierford presentation probably with less turnover, a little less risk, although I did notice that Schroeder's is taking the amount of risk that is embedded in the benchmark, versus the other two, Perford and MFS, are actually taking a lot less risk. And as the people at Wharton would teach, if you want to achieve the 7.25% return over a long period of time, you're not going to get there by minimizing your by lowering your risk below benchmarks. So I'm in favor of we're going to try to go after a benchmark, we should be trying to emulate the risk of that benchmark. But I think in general I'm going to go with Perford because I think the presentation, just overall information given and style, is where I'm drifting. That's my story.
You're sticking to it?
Sticking to it.
I like Perford. They seem more long-term. They hold their stocks longer. They have a discipline that we're going to do this and we're going to stay with this. I like their downside when the markets are down. Schroeder, to me, was they're chasing. My thing is value. They're trying, well, let's buy this today, sell it tomorrow, buy something new, and just trying to get their funds that way, or making their percentages that way, which I think could be a little dangerous changing that often. MFS, it was good, but management changes. I mean, like, so I said, we're going to put them on watch as soon as we hire them. I mean, but Perford seemed like they're more stable. They've been there a long time, all their management team and their investment team. So I like Perford.
I go with Perford as well. Were we looking at doing two managers, possibly, or all in one?
This would be all in one. We start going to two, and we're going to lose economies of scale, and the pricing is going to creep up. And quite frankly, I'm not sure there's value in overseeing two managers in this space. Okay. We're going to get a diversified portfolio with one manager.
I was thinking of Gabe's question. You could do a hedge fund approach, which is you could pick a Perford and then pick Schroeder's, who seems so very different, and try to, you know,
fight with each other,
try to balance it and hit a middle. I don't know.
Could I would highly encourage the board not to.
Yeah, no, I was merely pointing out. I had the same thought that Gabe did about maybe splitting the investment, understanding there are economies.
We've got quite a few equity managers as it is. So,
yeah. So wait, Brian, it's your turn. We're not going to get off this table without you putting out.
That's true. I agree with Deborah. What I tend to look at is the return that a manager provides compared to the risk that they assume. And MFS and Perford are very close. If you look at a year-by-year or a three-year or a five-year rolling average of returns, MFS, the returns are higher, but it does trouble me that they put this management notice in very fine print, a footnote on a page, as opposed to just coming up front with it. I don't think they were particularly trying to hide it. I mean, we had a situation where we hired a manager, and then right after the contracts were signed, the head portfolio manager announced that he was leaving. And it was a nightmare having to deal with that. We ended up getting out of it. We ended up suing them. And at least we're not in that situation.
They did contact Mellon, but as soon as they announced it.
It didn't take place for a year. So, I mean, they probably gave us as much notice as they knew about. But it is troubling where the main portfolio manager is going to be leaving. And it does really bother me, even though it's like a 17-hour plane ride from London to come out here and talk to us. If they do want our business bad enough, you do send somebody. And Tim remarked that we notified them that we did want a portfolio manager to come and be part of the presentation. And whatever No. Camille's title is, even though it talks about portfolio manager, she's not the portfolio manager. So I was very disappointed in that. And again, MFS is, their returns have been stellar, but Perford's have been very, very consistent. Yeah. And the culture that was presented by Tony was excellent. I mean, it's no nonsense. They do what they do. They stick to what they do. And I was just very impressed with them. So I would choose Perford.
I have. Sure. Can you comment on? To me, there's a huge disparity in the fees. Huge isn't probably the right word, but I was impressed that Perford said it was either 43 or 53, and that was inclusive of operating costs.
Well, the 43 was a separate account, so the operating costs would be borne by us.
Oh, I see.
We had custody.
So they were 53, and I know the I guess MFS was 49, but then they were. Pardon me, 59. They were 49 for whatever, and then 50, so they were still higher. So it's just that, but it was like, it was sort of a, whatever way you cut it, it was going to be less.
I think,
and that's not the reason to make the whole decision.
No, but I think in the context of the three different commingled funds, they all clustered. If you look at the all-in cost, they clustered right around the 57 to 60 basis point range. The separate account with Pureford was the outlier on the low side there.
I thought they said 43 and 53.
58.
So you want to make the first
And
motion.
We could look at a separate account with them.
But
the markets they have that they invest in are not cutting edge emerging markets, so I think we'll definitely look at that, but it looks doable at this point.
Then I'd like to move that we move forward with the process to engage Perford as our international value equity manager.
Second.
I ask our advisors, is there any discomfort on our selecting Perford?
No.
Tim, what's your choice?
Perford.
Okay.
It is.
So can we make that motion subject to the due diligence?
That's
visit?
What I meant by the process, whatever process.
Ethical negotiation. Quite frankly, Tim and I have talked about this, and I did with his predecessor, Kerry, many times when we have an international equity fund, we do want the commingled fund, just because of the increased administrative work that we have to do here. But we need to look into
that,
this.
Though. We'll do a cost comparison.
I don't want to make a decision yet until we look
at
it.
No, it was to move forward. That's why I said move forward with Pureford. Depending on what process you have to go through as that.
Okay.
I assume you'll come back at some point where we finalize
usually
it.
No, we don't. This is it. This is our motion to make the investment is here unless we find an issue.
That's
with
what
on-site
I meant. I'm
or sorry. Contracts or on-site business. Yeah.
One issue with the on-site, it is more costly to fly certainly to England. And one thing that Marilyn and I have been kind of kicking around is maybe only sending one board member to an overseas due diligence, along with Tim and a Melbourne representative.
Do we cover business class on an international flight?
So do you want me to not go this time?
Oh, no.
You want me to go too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, we talked about that. We think that at the very least we should do Economy Plus. Because it's an 11-hour flight.
Oh, definitely.
And if you're crammed, but we have never done business class. If the board wants to authorize that.
I'll leave it to my sense would be to leave it to your discretion. If there's a huge disparity, you'll go with Economy Plus. If it's not, and I don't know what that is, $200, $300, but
it's thousands.
Thousands just for business?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a big differential.
You can tell the last time I flew.
But I will say, having done that trip, that it's quite an exhausting trip, particularly if you've got a layover in the middle of the country.
Right.
Actually, it's not quite as bad if you fly to the East Coast, lay over for a bit, and then go. But if you're doing nonstop to San Francisco to to London, that's a pretty long, uncomfortable
long
trip in even economy plus.
Well, the other side of it is, remember, that means whoever's going will be putting in possibly 14, 18-hour days. It's not...
I'm happy to do that, by the way.
I'll move.
Just saying.
Yeah, because I'm
We'll do that on the side and get it all together.
We're talking over $300 million.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think the cost ratio, benefit ratio, more than justifies.
We'll squeeze them on the fees and make up for it.
Yeah. You can catch the 49er
have to move it quickly.
Yeah.
And that is my question. Does this happen rather quickly, like within the next 2 to 3 weeks?
No. The earliest we've targeted, we've looked at calendars and we've got to work with Perford on it, but the earliest would be the first week in December. And then you're getting into, because you can't do Thanksgiving travel.
No, yeah.
You suckers, you can't do Christmas travel.
Yeah.
So
it'll have to be early December or probably early to mid-January.
Well, where is our money now?
It's with State Street Global Markets right now. So it's being run in basically a futures. We gave them cash. They put futures on to replicate the broad index. But yeah, it's with them now, being run at no cost.
I'm making money. We haven't taken a vote
yet. No, we need a vote.
Any other comments, discussion items? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries?
You're voting for
me?
Yeah. You're voting. I'm sorry. I'm thinking you're not retired.
Yeah.
Gabe, you do.
No, I'm actually not an alternate right now.
You can vote for Richard.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the real vote. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's voting for...
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. You can't vote twice. Okay.
The chair.
Yeah.
What,
the empty chair.
Are they working on this?
I will give you an update of that staff comment.
I mean, I love it because Jerry and me, we could just spread.
We like it too.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Spread out.
You're like business class on one of those flights. Middle seat.
I did coach to Europe with my two kids, Vicky and I did that. That was entertaining.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I've been to Frankfurt 3 times.
Even their own seats in the
I did the Frankfurt flight. That's
their own seats in the
plane. Cookie and I did it from LA to London.
United has shows where they, around. I don't know what they call it, but that she can lay down, but it's not got the cool thing.
Well, it's not a perfect fine hotel bed, by the way. You can't sort of.
You're supposed to get up and walk around anyway.
Baggage.
Finish up that.
What are we doing?
Closed session.
We'll see how.
Do not chapter. Let's do closed session.
So we'll do closed session here. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your help and assistance. And good guys.
Thanks.